She had an after college gig, so, you know, she preached mostly at home, so. Brother Randy asked us to sing a song, and we've been trying to sing it for many years. And just listen to the words of this song, and once you hear the song, I want every one of you to think about this in a personal sense. And I'm not going to tell you more, just wait to hear the song. I'm already drunk. Folks that were here when we left a little 9 years ago to get a Pleasant Grove, and some folks that are not here now, they're in glory today. Just as we're here having a homecoming today, one of these days there's going to be a great homecoming.
Amen.
And to be honest with you, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
When I was young, though, I used to hear people say that, you used to hear older preachers say that, and I'm like, And that's just cause you're getting closer. But you see, I understand a whole lot more about it now than I did then. Yeah, I tell the folks at the church, I like to talk to people. And some of you know that because we talk quite often. And I tell myself, I'm glad we're going to be in heaven forever because there's a whole lot of people up there I want to talk to. Yeah, I want to talk to Daniel. I want to talk to Moses. I want to ask Moses, when you stepped out and held that rod out over the Red Sea, what did you think would happen? I don't think he knew what would happen, but he knew something would happen. And you see, that is the key in the Christian life, folks. God does not always tell us what's getting ready to happen. Most often he don't. But he does tell us something's getting ready to happen. And we see every day that goes by, we're closer to the day that God will call his church out than we have ever been. Just by reason of the fact it's later in history than it's ever been. This morning I'm going to look at some scripture in the book of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We'll start in, we'll be reading just one verse in Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. Again, it is good to be back in flesh this morning. A lot of fond memories here. A lot of fond memories. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Scripture says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this privilege that we have today to be here at Fletcher with your saints. We thank you, Father, for what you have done in the past in this place. God, for the soul that's been saved. God, for every time that you have touched and encouraged the hearts of your people. God, for the mercy that you have shown, and God, for the direction and guidance. And oh, Father, we certainly need that today. Father, I pray, Lord, for our nation. God, that you would touch the hearts of our leaders. And God, for those who do not know you as Lord and Savior, that you would help them to understand the need that they have for a relationship with you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, they would call on you and be saved. And I pray that this nation would once again be blessable of you. Father, speak to our hearts today. We'll be careful to honor you and praise you for everything that's accomplished. For these things we ask, Father, in thy name. Amen. I want to focus this morning on just the first line in this verse. Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth. Now, from what I understand, as folks had prepared a meal, and little Bobby went out to the fellowship building. You know, salt is something that is very needful in many ways. You know, you're familiar with what salt does in seasoning of food. And by the way, the thought this morning, or the title of the message, if you want to call it that, whatever, is Seasoning Society. Seasoning Society. You see, God called his people to be salt and light in this world. This world is each and every day that goes by seems to get a little crazier than it was the day before. And I believe that the seasoning of God's word and the seasoning that he would send through his people, I believe that this world today needs more of that. That is evidenced by what we see happening around us. And even in the light, you know, that in the hearts of God's people, you see, experience that we gain with God. And there's only one way that you can gain experience. People can tell you about experiences they've had. You might go through a similar situation. But you can only experience something in one way, and that's when you yourself go through that situation. And when you reach the other side of that situation and you look back and you can see how that God provided, We're going to be looking at that this morning. You can look at and see how God preserved. We're going to be looking at that. And you can see how that God worked in your life. And that is very important in the life of a Christian. Before Kathy and I left, Fletcher went to Pleasant Grove. One Sunday afternoon, as I was walking in church, there was a man stopped me and asked me a question. He said, I got a question for you. You never know what's coming when somebody says that to you. He looked at me and he said, how do you know, or how does an individual know when the Holy Spirit is working in their life? How do you know when the Holy Spirit is working in your life? Now I'm going to let you think about that for a moment. What would you say in that situation? As I was standing there and as he was speaking, I was praying and I said, Lord, I need your help because I ain't got a clue what to say. And God gave me an answer. I looked at him and I said, brother, you can tell that the Holy Spirit is working in your life when you see a change in you that you had nothing to do with. When you're not trying to put on a good show, when you're just trying to get closer to God, you know what will happen? There will be a change. It won't be a change that you have to work on. It'll be a change that comes from within, led by the Holy Spirit. I've got several verses of Scripture that I would like to read this morning, and we're going to try to get through these. Verses found in the book of Job, chapter 6. Job, chapter 6. Talking about, the savor of salt, as we've already mentioned. What salt does is when you sprinkle it on food, salt enhances the flavor of food. And, in our society today, the influence of Christians in society today is very important. Because when man is left to himself, our society would tell you that man is basically good. Do you see any evidence of that? Left to himself. I worked with the prison and jail ministry for many years. And I've had the opportunity to talk to a whole lot of, my wife, she was a member of the ministry too. She worked with the ladies and I just talked and worked with the men. And I've heard some stories that are just I wouldn't even want to repeat. So to me, that pretty much is evidence that man is not basically good. God is good. And when the Holy Spirit, one member of the Trinity, lives within the heart of a person, God can transform. The book of Romans says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God can take a sinner, save his soul by grace, and make something completely new out of it. In the book of Psalms, chapter 6, verse 6, Job speaks and says, can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt, or is there any taste in the white of an egg? Now, Eliphaz, Job's friend, has been accusing him and telling him that if you had done something, all this stuff wouldn't be happening to you. We all know that according to the first chapter of the book of Job, Job had done nothing. Satan went before God and accused Job, and God was proving a point. And Job says, can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Again, we mentioned that salt enhances the flavor of food. And as we go through this life, in the life of a Christian, I've heard the term used, in your orbit. In other words, in the people that you are around, the people you work with, the people you go to school with, your next door neighbors. People around you. They are watching and they're listening. And the folks at our church to me said, I hate it when you say that, when you tell us that people are watching us and people are listening to what we say. I said, well, I'm just reminding you that that's the truth. They're watching very closely. And they're listening to the things that you say or the things that you don't say. You say, what do you mean? Well, I don't want to go into details, but by the way a Christian You know, my actions don't so much get me in trouble. My reactions, many times, is what gets me in trouble.
Amen.
And I pray constantly, God, please help me that in any given situation, I don't say or do anything that will bring a reproach on you or on your church.
Amen.
So Job is talking about, you know, which is unsavory, which has little or no taste, be eaten without salt. You know, salt is something, you know, we think about, you know, when we think about home. By the way, the word home, have you ever thought about that word? The word home, not just necessarily a house, but the word home, and I have this little thing for looking at words. I don't know, I like to know the definition of words, because some words don't mean what you think they mean. Home. Center of a family's life. The center of a family. We could preach a week on that, but don't get worried. Huh? That's a different message for a different time. You know, at home, I remember when I was a kid growing up, so you start out at home with mom and dad and your brothers and sisters, and then as you grow up and then you get married, you have your own home, and you know, you remember, meal time is a special time. I remember we'd sit around the table and talk, and you know, well, anymore, everybody's lifestyle is so fast and so hectic, you know, that's cut into that. But that was a time when I was a kid I looked forward to. And I remember, you know, as mom would cook, you know, and she, the way she was a very good cook, or I thought so anyway. And the time that we spent together then, there was instilled in me some things, some by easy means and some by not so easy means. Some, I was kind of a rebellious child at times, and she'd have to emphasize a point, you know what I mean. But I remember being taught at home. And you see, that teaching, when we teach and train our children at home, and then they grow up and they go out into the world, the Bible says train up a child in the way it should go, when it's old, it'll not depart from it. And you see, the problem in our world today is that the society wants to train our children. So that's why it's so very important that at home, that we instill in them the values, and that we teach them the Word of God. And that we, as we live with them, and you see, when you live with people, you can't hide who you are. Don't y'all ask Kathy no questions, by the way, after church. You know, my next door neighbor, I can't hide from them who I am. I mean, they live right there. They know me. And you see, what I believe, have you ever done this? Have you ever asked somebody, what do you believe? I'm talking about when it comes to Christianity. What do you believe? And many times you will get a blank stare. And you see, that's why it's so important at home that we instill in our children, that we teach them God's Word. And that we teach them what it means to be a Christian. In the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verse 6. Colossians, chapter 4, verse 6. Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Colossae, he says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Seasoned with salt. What Jesus then told the disciples, he said, ye are the salt of the earth. In other words, you are the ones that we're going to be working through. You can't expect lost people to act like anything but lost people. But you see, once the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within the heart of a person, and he transforms that person, and they become a new creature, and he starts to work in and through them to reach out. I mean, we can have a great reach. I mean, the church where we are at is a very small church. And our church supports a few missionaries. We work with Brother David Youngblood, Miss Tammy up in Alaska. Brother Gary Locklear, as he travels across the nation with in the Native American ministry, and a few local. And you see, we can each one by prayer. By prayer. Paul says, pray without ceasing. I used to wonder about that verse. I don't wonder about it anymore. I know what he meant now. Pray without ceasing. But the savor of salt and what salt does to food and what it does through God's people in this world. We live in an area called the Bible Belt. And this is even called the buckle of the Bible Belt. And you get just a little distance outside the area where we live, and you see a lot of things that are quite a bit different. Things that we never, we just take for granted. Well, everywhere is like Fletcher. Everywhere is like Hooper Creek. Everywhere ain't like Fletcher. And you see, God is calling his people. Not just Brother Roy, Brother David, Brother Gunn, Brother Jason. Not just preachers. If you are a Christian, you have a ministry. And in the book of Matthew, where the scripture says, go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel, that applies to everyone. It says, season, or let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know what you ought to answer every man. You see, as I mentioned a while ago, many times people might ask you a question. I've had it happen several times that I had no idea what to tell them. And I'm praying, Lord, I need your help. And I have been amazed several times at answers that he has given me. Because I'll be honest, I had no idea what to say because I didn't know that man here that day. The next point I want to look at is that we looked at the savor of salt. I want to look at the sustaining of salt. The sustaining of salt. You know, several years ago, even back before I was born, it's been a while. You know, before refrigerators were invented, they would salt meat down to keep it from spoiling, to preserve meat. So the sustaining, that would sustain the meat when they would put salt on it. And see, God has a sustaining effect in the life of people.
Yeah.
And in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians and chapter 4. Read verses, or start with verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now I want to focus on that last verse, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. I remember the church that I grew up in down in South Carolina. And there was quite a few pastors that went through that church in the time that I was there. And I remember that it seemed like many times that there was different literature brought in, there was different things, and there was a lot of different teaching. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I appreciate Fletcher and churches where I know that preach the Bible, plus nothing, minus nothing. That preach God's word. You know, there's a lot, the Bible talks about having itching ears, know where there's people here wanting to hear what they want to hear. Well, that kind of preaching, that kind of teaching, that won't take you to a place called heaven. It says that we be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. There's a lot of doctrines out there. There's a lot of teaching out there today. Sad to say that the majority of it is not about God and not about His Word. And it is so important for the sustaining of the church and the sustaining. Now, I'm not talking about a person that loses their salvation. I'm talking about a person that wants to grow in their faith. God will sustain them. God will help them. He will draw closer to them. The scripture says, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. You see, God does not learn anything about me because He already knows everything there is to know about me. But I do learn more about Him when He answers prayers, when He provides needs, when He sustains me. As a member of the church, as a member of the family of God, when He says, you are the salt of the earth, God is expecting me to be a witness for Him so that His Holy Spirit can work through me to affect the lives of other people. Yeah. As expected of each and every one gathered here this morning. In the book of Psalms, chapter 91. Psalm 91. The psalmist says in Psalms 91, verses 11 through 16. Psalm 91, start with verse 11. Scripture says, for He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and shew him my salvation. We're talking about the sustaining of salt. I like the part in verse 15 where it says, I will be with him in trouble. Now, I'm thankful that He does not classify this. I will be with you in this type of trouble, but I won't be with you in that type of trouble. He just says, I will be with thee in trouble. That tells me that He can be with me in whatever the situation is. Whatever. It does not matter. I remember almost 4 years ago now, I had a little problem. Went to the hospital one night and they looked me over, decided I need to have some more work done. And I remember they took me down to the cath lab up at Mission Hospital and they told me what they was going to do. And then they told me when I woke up from that, the doctor told me, he said, we're going to have to do heart surgery on you. He said, we're going to do it in the morning. And I remember laying there on that bed, and, you know, I wasn't afraid. And actually, fear never even entered my mind. And I'm not trying to sound noble or brave or anything, but what the foremost thing in my mind was, God, I am so thankful that I am saved. And I'm not here lying on this table trying to beg you to forgive me of my sin in this situation. Yeah. Folks, you talk about bringing peace to your heart. Because I knew that whatever happened, whether I woke up in Asheville the next morning or whether I woke up in heaven, everything going to be all right. And you see, that same Lord that saved my soul, He has been with me through all kinds of trouble. He has been a help. Says, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. And honor. I will deliver him. That also brings a great deal of comfort to me. I will deliver him. By that statement that he just made there, it tells me that he is confident that he has the ability to do that. You see, I serve the Creator God. I was, had been preaching a series of messages at the church on the plagues in Egypt. And during that, doing research, that I learned that the Egyptians during that time, they worshiped several thousand different gods. They had some weird gods. Had one had the body of a woman with the head of a frog. I don't know where they came up with that. But I am thankful. My God knows that I'm a simple person. And there's only one God I have to go to. I don't have to try to figure out which God I got to pray to. I don't have to try to figure out, you know, I go to one. And whatever the situation is, He can take care of it. I'm confident of that. He has reassured me of that. He's not just told me. He has showed me many times. And then in the final point this morning, I want to look at the salary of salt. We have looked at the savor of salt. We have looked at the sustaining of salt. I want to look at the salary of salt in the book of 1 Chronicles. Book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 29. First Chronicles chapter 29. We'll start with verse 12. Solomon has taken the throne. David, who has been king over Israel, a man who God had said he was a man after His own heart. David's another one I want to talk to when I get to heaven. I got a lot of questions. Start with verse 12. It says, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might. And in thine hand is it to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. You see, Solomon was going to be building the temple. David wanted to build a temple, and God said, no, you've shed blood. You can't build a temple. So his son Solomon was going to build a temple. And David himself gave gold and silver. And he called on the other people, and they gave the gold and the silver and the wood and the iron and the brass and all the things that were needed. And David says here, we gave to you, but we only gave to you what you had given us to start with. Now the word, as I mentioned, when I go to the final point, the salary of salt. In biblical days, Roman soldiers, many times when the Roman government would pay them, they would pay them with salt. Salt was a precious commodity. They could either use what they needed, they could sell it, trade it, do whatever. But they were paid in salt. The Latin word for salt is sal, S-A-L. The French word is salari. And we're all very familiar with a word today in our English language, which comes from the words, basically the word salt is salary. You know, that's what we work for, isn't it? Now, I'm not talking about I'm at the church. I told the folks, I said, I don't preach for money. Now, it's different Monday through Friday on the job I work for. I expect them to, you know, to make a contribution. But the salary. And you see, folks, what God pays us, we cannot begin to compute what it's worth. What God does for us. Amen. You think about, I remember here several years ago, many years ago, Brother Bill showed. Brother Bill, he told a little story. He had been to the doctor the previous week. He was testifying on a Sunday morning. He said, I went to the doctor this week. You know, you go to the doctor, they take your blood pressure, they check your heart rate and do all this stuff. And he said, the young lady told me what my heart rate was. And he said, I got to thinking about that. And if Brother Bill was in his mid to late 80s at that time. And he said, when I got home from the doctor's appointment, I got my calculator out. And he said, now this is just average. Because your heart rate is faster at some times and slower at others. He said, for my age, they told me my heart was beating that day. It was beating like 85 times a minute. He said, on average, thus far in my life, my heart has beat 2,895,346 times. He said, I would say I am blessed. I never had thought about that until he mentioned that day. And there's a lot of things in life that we never even stop and think about until it's just right here, right in front of us. And David says, for all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. And then there's the next page, 2 Chronicles chapter 1. So verse 7 says, in that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast shewed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established. For thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. Because Solomon asked God for wisdom. God said, I'm going to give thee not only wisdom, but riches and wealth such as none has ever had before. See, folks, whatever we do for God, there is no one that God is in debt to. God pays us, and he pays us richly. We might think about it like that sometimes. I don't know about you, sometimes I kind of, might complain a little bit. I know nobody here does that but me. Sometimes you might think, I just don't think this is fair. Well, there's a song that says, that he never promised that the cross would not get heavier, the hill would not be hard to climb. But he did say that he'd always show up, and in times of trouble, that he would help us, Brother Roy.